of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of October, and it is Mission Sunday. The Church dedicates this Sunday to praying for its missionary effort, and there is a collect, a special collect from the Mass for the propagation of the faith in today's Mass. The word apostle in Greek means mission. The word mission comes from a Latin word, which in Greek means the same thing, to be sent. And so the Catholic Church is essentially apostolic and therefore essentially missionary. We say in the Creed we believe in the apostolic church, one holy Catholic and apostolic, which means that one of its necessary characteristics is that it is missionary. And we call the papal see the apostolic see. It could just as easily be called the missionary see, because the church is essentially missionary. It is the mission of the church to do the following things. It is the mission of the church that gives her authority that she claims. Someone has authority over you if they are sent by legitimate government. When a policeman pulls you over, he has authority, he has jurisdiction, because he is sent by the legitimate government to enforce the law. Where does the church come and say to you that you must obey what is taught, you must believe what is taught, you must obey the rules in order to go to heaven? Where does the church get that authority to say that to the human race, except from God Himself giving to human beings the mission to enforce His rule of faith and to enforce His rule of law? And so it is this mission that Christ gave to the apostles, and which is handed over also to their successors, that gives the church its authority. It is her mission, her being sent by Christ, that gives her validity as the true church. Human beings cannot found churches. They have no authority to do so. They cannot found organizations that claim to bring people to heaven, because they neither have the authority nor the power to bring people to heaven. Only God can found a church, and only He can empower people to bring others to heaven. And He does this in holy orders, and He does this in jurisdiction given to priests and bishops and so forth. And so, when the church claims to be the true church, it does so because of this mission given to it by Christ. And that's why the true church must be apostolic. That is, it must be able to trace its origins to the apostles. If it is not one and the same church, one and the same institution, organization that was founded by Christ upon the apostles, it is not a true church. It is a false church. It does not have the power to bring you to heaven. And it is, therefore, this mission given to the church by Christ which concludes that outside the church there is no salvation, because there is no true organization of Christ outside the church, because Christ gave His mission to the apostles. The very term apostles, as I said, means those who are sent. The best that false religions can boast is that they have certain elements of the Catholic faith. They might even have valid sacraments. But these elements are insufficient to bring someone to heaven. If you were driving along and you noticed that your car was on empty, and you go and you pull up to a gas station and they advertise that we have elements of true gasoline, that we will sell you elements of true gasoline, you would drive away saying, this is insufficient. Elements of true gasoline will not bring me to where I need to go. And so also the elements that we find of the Catholic faith or of natural religious truths in those false religions do not overcome the fact that they are false religions, and that if you observe what they tell you to do, you will go to hell. That is, if you knowingly and willingly understand that they are a false religion and continue with them and do what they tell you to do, you will go to hell as a result. And so far from being means of salvation, as Vatican II characterizes false religions, they are means of damnation. For if you follow their instructions, if you believe their doctrines, they lead to hell. And so the mission of Christ to the church, going therefore teach ye all nations, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and other statements of Christ to the apostles, is the basis of the church's ability to present herself as the one true church, outside of which there is no salvation, and which church must be obeyed with regard to faith and with regard to discipline and sacred liturgy. Now, the church fulfills her mission, first of all, by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. The church has a certain restlessness to preach, to go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. And this restlessness, which is a holy thing, is given to it by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost pushes, inspires, sets on fire the souls of men and women to go and to preach the Holy Gospel to those who have never heard it. And we read in the history of the church about this holy restlessness of young men who cannot bear to stay in the comfort of their own countries, but to go and preach the gospel in situations that are absolutely unbearable, whether it be in Africa or in China or in the wilds of North America or South America or in islands of the Pacific or among lepers. They cannot bear to sit because the gospel must be preached. And as the Europeans discovered North America and South America and parts of the Pacific, hardly any time was lost before on these ships priests were brought there. The church begged these governments to bring priests to these new places so that they could go and preach the gospel to the natives there. And many of these people suffered death as a result of disease and other things, or death by martyrdom, whether it was here, whether it was South America, whether it was China. You have no idea of how many young priests had their heads chopped off in China, or Catholics who in the 1600s in China, in Japan, were crucified. You have no idea how much bloodshed there has been in order to bring the faith. That is the missionary restlessness of the church. And the Catholic Church has spread itself all over the world because of this action of the Holy Ghost, that we cannot sit. We cannot sit in Rome. We cannot sit. But we must go and bring the Holy Gospel to the whole world. And the reason why you have the faith today and I have the faith today is because missionaries were sent out from Rome to barbarian Europe, to places like northern Germany and Poland and Eastern Europe, England, Ireland. And you have come down as children of those people of Europe, in most cases, who are given the faith by brave missionaries. This is the very life of the church. And so the Holy Gospel is still preached today. The missionary activity of the church includes what I am doing right now, preaching to you. It also includes the work of Catholic schools, the teaching of catechism. It's all part of it. It includes the propagation and defense of the faith by means of books, publications, articles, videos, the internet, merely the answering of an email is part of the missionary activity of the church. Father Cicada recently got a letter from a Lutheran minister who said he knows that Lutheranism is wrong. He has looked at the Catholic Church, meaning the Novus Ordo, and has realized that it is in serious error. It is a church in distress, and he wants to become Catholic, but he does not want to be that. And he has looked at all of the traditional movement in the Catholic Church, and he has come to believe that our position is correct. He is a Lutheran minister. He just received that letter the other day. And so the mere answering, the way that he had access to us was by the internet. So that's part of the missionary activity of the church. The missionary activity of the church is also carried on by the institution of Catholic discipline. The Catholic faith is not some sort of dry, speculative science. It is something that spills over immediately into the practical order. As soon as we accept the faith, we accept a Catholic culture, ways of thinking, ways of doing things that are in accordance with the law of charity, the law of justice, with the virtue of religion, the virtue of faith. We organize our lives in such a way as to conform to the faith. And so even things like art and music, entertainment, all of those things are according to faith. And so part of the apostolic mission of the church is to bring a Catholic culture. And it fulfills its mission by sanctifying the faithful, by bringing to them the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which you see today, and all of the sacraments, by promoting the prayers of the church, in particular the Holy Rosary. And in our present crisis of the church, we have an unusual and peculiar mission, and that is to hold the faith and defend the faith against the heretics and apostates who have penetrated the church and even who have gotten themselves to the point of appearing to be the authority of the church. This is a special apostolic mission. It is our special task to unmask them as heretics and as apostates and to encourage the faithful to reject them in the same way that a body would reject an invading disease. Every age has its saints, and some saints are saints of charity, but other saints are saints of faith. Saints of charity are Saint Vincent de Paul, or the Curé of Ars, or other saints who came to the aid of the sick and the poor, and they are great saints for that, and that is the church's moment for them. But there are other ages in the church when great faith is your sanctity. To be a rock of faith like St. Athanasius or St. Thomas More. There are many of those saints whom we cultivate in our missals who would never have been canonized, who would have been obscure figures in the history of the Church if it had not been for the fact that heresy, a prevailing heresy, demanded of them heroic faith. Heroic faith. St. Pius X is a saint of faith. He is a saint because he defended the Church against modernism. There are certain times when God demands a sanctity, especially of faith, because faith is the basis, it is the rock of everything else we do. There can be no charity without faith. There can be no hope without faith. No church, no priesthood, no seminaries, nothing without faith. And the stronger the faith, the stronger the apostolic spirit of the Church. And in these times, we are required to have a heroic faith. Just as in war, or just as in the crisis of 9/11, people were required to be heroic, to go far beyond obligation, normal obligation, and to be heroic, to give their all for the faith. So the Church is in a time of war. War against heretics that are in her and should be out of her body, but they are in her and they need to be expelled. And Catholics should not therefore long for a time like the 1950s when you could quietly go to church and quietly practice your faith, when everything was in such order and perfection. Those days will not come back for a long, long time, if even ever. To give you an example, in the diocese in which I grew up, priests, there were so many priests, and there was so much order, and everything was so well organized, that priests ordinarily had 3 days off a week. There were so many candidates for the priesthood. In 1939, the bishop said, "I have to get rid of half of them." And he told half the class, "You have to go to other dioceses, get another bishop. I cannot support you." Those were the days. Now, if a priest gets a day off once a month, or most of the priests I know never take any time off. There is no time off. It's every day. Because our effort has to be heroic in the missionary activity of the Church. It has to be heroic. We have to give our all, as many priests in the past did. And so also nuns have to give their all. This is not a normal time. And the lay people have to do more and give more than they ordinarily did. It is a time of sacrifice. It is a time of heroism. And so how do you participate in the mission of the Church? The best is by becoming a priest or a religious. That is the best, of course. You are in the army, and you carry the Holy Gospel in the most efficacious way to souls. And you will please God in the best way possible with the time that is given to you in this life. But the laity can also help, of course, by contributing to the Church. A priest, when he is ordained, has nothing but holy orders. And if he is to do anything, if he is to have a church in which to say Mass, as we do here, it is because of you. He doesn't have anything. He cannot build a church. He cannot heat it. He cannot maintain it. And the more you enable him, the more he can do. It's as simple as that. And so you participate very much every Sunday when you drop your envelope in the collection basket to continue the missionary activity of the Catholic Church. And you do that not only in support of the church, but in support of schools, in support of seminaries, which, as you know, are the most important things. If there is no seminary, then there is no church. There is no school. There is no priest if there is no seminary. And also you may contribute your time by teaching in Catholic schools, by helping out in the things that I just mentioned today in the announcement, by singing in the choir, which pertains directly to the glory of God. It will be something that you will do for all eternity. What you do in the choir, you do for all eternity. If you go to heaven, what do you think you will do in heaven but praise God for all eternity? You can serve at the altar. You can help the church in all sorts of capacities. The altar society, which cleans the church, as part of this whole missionary activity of the church, because the church doesn't have any other activity except missionary. Even contemplatives like Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus offered her whole life for the missions of the church. That is the life of the church. And in doing these things, you fulfill the will of Christ, going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.